The reading for this Reformation Sunday comes from 1 Kings 3, beginning at verse 4. Would you please pray with me? Wise and wonderful Lord, speak wisdom to our hearts in the reading of your word. Amen. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father, David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of the heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I do now according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I will also give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Then Solomon awoke. It had been a dream. He came to Jerusalem, where he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He offered up burnt offerings and offerings of well-being, and provided a feast for all his servants. Later, two women who were prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Please, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then, on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth. We were together. There was no one else in the house with us. Only the two of us were in the house. Then this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your servant slept. She laid him at her breast and laid her dead son at my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my son, I saw that he was dead, but when I looked closely at him in the morning, clearly it was not the son I had born." But the other woman said, "No, the living son is yours, and the dead son is mine. The first said, "No, the dead son is yours, and the living son is mine." So they argued before the king. Then the king said, "This one says, 'This is my son that is alive, and your son is dead.' While the other says, 'Not so, your son is dead, and my son is the living one.' So the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' And they brought a sword before the king. The king said, 'Divide the living boy in two, then give half to one and half to the other.' But the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because compassion for her son burned within her, 'Please, my lord, give her the living boy. Certainly do not kill him.' The other said, 'It shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide it.' Then the king responded, 'Give the first woman the living boy. Do not kill him. She is his mother.' All Israel heard the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived the wisdom that God was in him to execute justice." The word of the Lord.
Isn't it fun when we have terrific worship leadership in the sanctuary? I'm so enjoying this. Thank you guys so much. And I'm no fool. I thought for me to try to stand up and preach a sermon, it would be a real downer to hear my words when you're being blessed by theirs. And so my message today is really crafted from their words, from the faith statements that they shared with each other just a few weeks ago in preparation for this day. They've been thinking long and hard about their faith, harder than most of us adults have been thinking, trying to determine who is this God that they believe in, and what does it mean to have faith in God, and how are they called to live out their faith in the world? Well, one of the things we did on retreat was spend quite a bit of time in this story about King Solomon and the wisdom that God gifted him. And if you couldn't tell, the students really loved this story. I think because Solomon has a kind of superhero power in the wisdom, being able to come that close to the line and trust that his wisdom will reign instead of the chaos that can occur when people are let loose with each other in all their sinfulness. But also, I think that this story of King Solomon had sway with the group because King Solomon was a lot like they are. He was not really much more than a boy in that stage, no longer a child, but not quite ready to leap into adulthood, and certainly not ready to leap into a responsibility of leadership for others, hundreds of thousands of others in Solomon's case. When we were talking about this story, the student said that Solomon 8 probably had a size 8 foot, and he was stepping into a size 16 calling. That puts it pretty well. He was only the third king of Israel, and his father was King David, the most famous king that ever lived, beloved by the Israelite people even to this day. And so when he stepped in to the kingdom and into the reign of the people, he felt very ill-equipped for the job and a little too young and not ready. Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Solomon had a lot to learn about the role of playing king, but he also had a lot to learn about his God. The story begins with Solomon just giving his all to sacrificing. That's how people worshiped back in King Solomon's day. So he's sacrificing thousands of animals, trying to curry God's favor. But it's God who goes to him at night in a dream. God reaches out to Solomon. God doesn't leave his people alone to fend for themselves when they're called into big circumstances. God meets them right there. God came to Solomon in a dream and said, "Instead of trying so hard to please me, how about you ask me for what you need?" That's good advice for you guys. How about instead of trying so hard to please me, you ask me for what you need? Our confirmands, like Solomon, are all already starting to feel the stirrings of calling in their life. They're in ninth grade, and they're starting to see how God might use them. They've been thinking about the gifts that God has given them. Tessa thinks that she probably will be a leader doing service out in the community. Ben imagines that he'll be called overseas for mission work. Will already feels called to a career in medicine. Eric senses that he's going to be a youth leader in a few short years. Sydney's already stepping out with her gifts on the drums. They understand that God calls us to use our gift, like God called Solomon to use his gift of wisdom on behalf of the people. These students wrote eloquently about their faith, and even without a personal visitation from God like Solomon had, they've already started to understand that God is amazingly generous. Many of the students talked about God's generosity in a way that most of us have never even thought about it. And Will McKenzie really spent time marveling about God's amazing generosity. These are his words. I believe that God made this world for humans so that we could prosper and worship him in his ever-abiding love, which I think is really cool when you think about it. A whole world just for us? How awesome is that? And he goes on, I'm astounded by the fact that God had his only son come to earth to spread the love of God. Jesus gave his life for us. Not many of us would do that for people we don't even know. He goes on. Not only does Jesus die for us undeserving people, he cares enough to take the time to tell us where he is going. And the place where he is going is too magnificent for me to imagine. I have everlasting life in the best place in the whole galaxy, which is too much to take in at one time. All of these things, Will said, combine to create a picture of a very generous God who I want to be part of my life. I'm going to do that by going to church, loving God, and serving God so that I may have a wonderful life and afterlife filled with people I love who love the same things as me. Ben Domeyer said, God is generous and forgiving. For Ben, those two things go hand in hand, as God needs to be forgiving because we human beings fall short so much of the time. God's role in the world is to love us and guide us, Ben said. God constantly fulfills his role even when we fail to worship him and have faith in him. God has boundless love and gives his love to all of us. And then Ben says, I experience God's grace through his forgiveness of our sins. God forgives no matter what. Through his love and forgiveness, we find salvation. God is everything good. He is kind, loving, graceful, just, and pure. He is our Lord and Savior and is worthy of our praise. For me, God can expect faith. I may not always have faith, but God knows that I will always return to him. I intend to live out my faith by spending more time with God. I'll begin reading the Bible and remember to think about and pray to God more often. I will strive to make our relationship more personal and more meaningful. I hope that I will be very close to God and have a deep understanding of him and Scripture. Sidney Radabaugh also felt a sense of intimacy with God and talked about God's guidance in her life. I know God always is with me, guiding me along the way. Sometimes I feel like I don't deserve God, but he is always by my side, walking in sync with me. Only a drummer would think about that, in rhythm. God always understands me and my problems. Sydney knows that God draws us closer through relationships and through this community we know as the church. She said, since I was little, I've been going to Redeemer. I remember going to Good News Bears on Wednesdays and Sunday school on Sundays. I'm glad I had the privilege of growing up in the church. Not everyone has that privilege, and Sydney knows that. Eric Scherson said that he's still got a lot to learn about faith, but church helps him, sometimes by showing him what faith shouldn't look like. For him, faith is not just acting like you believe something. Faith requires more than that. It requires honesty and thoughtfulness. When you say the Apostles' Creed, Eric said, you shouldn't just go through the motions. You aren't just reading something. You are saying that you believe all these things. And that is something you should pay attention to. Remember that later. Eric cautions us against flaunting our faith or using the Bible as a weapon against others in arguments. That's not what church is about. He said one of the great things about church is it's a place where you can openly ask questions. and questions are what form your faith. Amen to that, Eric. It is so true that you need to start asking questions about what you believe in order for your faith to grow. Tessa Dwight said, "The church is made up of people who have faith in God, the Holy Spirit, and our Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that the church is a place of worshiping and connecting with God. I believe the church is one of the ways God spreads his word and helps us understand him. I believe the church is a community of people unified and brought together by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit influences our lives, especially encouraging us to love, forgive, have joy, and express generosity. I have to say that church has been a huge part in shaping my faith. I also think that my prayer partner and faith mentor has also been very influential in my growing and developing faith because she has shown me how healthy faith is lived through serving others. Tessa's faith has also been shaped by adversity, and I'd say that's true of every single one of our confirmands this year. They have known adversity in their life. They have faced health crises. They have faced relocations. They have faced divorce in their family. They have faced the death of far too many loved ones who are near and dear to them. And tragedy shapes us. Tessa said, "When my great aunt was diagnosed with cancer and died 4 years later, it was very hard on me and my family. But throughout the experience, her faith was strong. She lived by a verse from Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The experience my family had helped me realize that sometimes bad things just happen to good people. It doesn't mean that God is trying to punish us. Although at first I was mad at him, I realized God was there for my family and me every step of the way. With All Saints Day, just next Sunday, I think it's significant to take stock of the people who have shaped our lives of faith who are no longer with us. That's what we'll do next Sunday. And this group of students was so articulate about the number of people who have shaped and touched them in their life journeys. We'll set it like this. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. It's so cool. There are so many people who love and serve God. I think that the communion of saints is a way we get closer to God. Dreams, prayers, scripture, service, worship, the saints. God uses all of these things to shape us, to guide us, to call us, and to bless us. He blessed Solomon with wisdom when Israel heard the judgment that the king had rendered. They stood in awe because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in Solomon. So my prayer for each of you and each of you is that whatever God calls and equips you to do, that others will see and know that God is in you too. Amen.